Let me start with a confession. My first real memories of big operatic storytelling didn't come from film at all. They came from the daytime TV my grandmother kept on in the background.
Same here. That sound lived in the house, the cadence, the way every feeling arrived at full volume, like the dial never dipped below max.
Yeah.
For years, I brushed it off as a guilty pleasure, melodrama. But lately, I've been looking at it with a writer's eye and realizing the dialogue craft there shaped far more than I gave it credit for.
Once you start paying attention, you see its fingerprints everywhere. Which makes me wonder, if you strip out the organ stings and the cliffhangers, what's left in the bones of those conversations?
The question that's been rattling around for me is, how did that rhythm, that heavy, declared feeling, quietly reshape dialogue, even in so-called prestige drama?
I think we'd surprise a lot of folks if we mapped it. We're talking about the DNA of modern TV writing, and a big chunk of that code comes straight from soaps.
One strand jumps out first, the workload a single exchange has to carry. In one scene, you're reminded of 20 years of backstory, a new conflict pops, an old one spikes, and it all ends on a cliff while somebody's just pouring tea.
Total multitasking. There isn't subtext so much as the text wearing the subtext off. It's never just, I'm angry. It's, how could you do this to me, Victor, after I trusted you, after what happened with your father?
Right. A single line names the feeling, the target, the stakes, and the history. Less than person one, greater than less, than person one, greater than Ponner. You can hear it in succession. Family history gets used like ammo in every fight. It's a glossy HBO refinement of a move daytime TV perfected.
That lands. It's maximum emotion with maximum clarity. No ambiguity. One of you might have missed a week and still needs to jump right in.
And that's an art. Not clunky info dump information used like a weapon. Facts delivered as a blow or a plea.
Information as ammo, I'm jotting that. It also explains the rhythm, the recycling, the name-calling as anger. I don't know what you mean, Victor. The name pills the charge to a person.
It's a beat that keeps aim steady. You always know exactly who's getting hit. No stray shots in those scenes.
Every line has a target. And that economy is something you have to learn in screenwriting. You don't get novelistic interiority. The dialogue has to bench press the load. Soaps are the boot camp for that.
More like a brutal training ground, and it demands athletic performers. There's no room for murmur and brood when the words live on the surface. The actor has to meet the line's voltage.
Exactly. It's why the famous soap stare works. The camera glides in, someone says, I know it was you, Bartok Ameyu. And then they hold long enough for the accusation to land in your gut.
Do they really hold that beat as long as we remember? Wait, I'm second-guessing my own take. Is it 5 seconds or just long enough to sting?
From what I've seen, it's long enough to sting. Not a stopwatch rule, but it feels extended because everything is so nakedly stated.
The pause becomes punctuation. And pulling that off without tipping into camp takes control. Winking. In that moment, Bartiacella Mai's betrayal has to feel like the end of the world. Less than person one, greater than less than person one, greater than sure. Okay, that was a lot quick, brother. All right.
It's a high wire act of sincerity. In plenty of modern shows, the praise goes to restraint, what isn't said. Here, mastery is fearless commitment to what is said.
Fearless is the word. It's vulnerable. Every feeling is out on the table. No hiding behind clever implication.
And that flips how we connect. You're not deciphering, you're feeling along with them. It's straight empathy or straight outrage.
Which makes the viewing visceral. It skips the brain and hits the stomach. You feel the shock and the sting.
That's why the characters stick. They're embodiments of primary colors, love, hate, jealousy, greed. Almost mythic.
It's Greek tragedy in a suburban living room. The scale is epic, even if the set is ordinary. And the actors who ground that scale, wildly underrated.
No question. We hand out trophies for chameleonic accents, but we hardly ever honor the person who turns a line about a switched paternity test into catastrophe 5 days a week for years.
Which brings up the other side, the schedule. That nonstop churn for story changes the entire architecture compared to what we're used to now.
Night and day. A streaming season might have 8 or 10 episodes to run one arc. A soap writes more in a month than some shows make in total.
So the so-called slow burn has to spark a little every day. Someone can pine in secret for a decade, but you still get the near miss, the stolen glance, the too honest slip.
And the drop letter the wrong person reads.
Exactly. It's a chain of constant micro-escalations. The point isn't just the destination, it's packing the road with small detonations.
Which is why the evil twin or surprise sibling shows up so often. Not merely shock for shock's sake, it's a plot steroid. Low on fuel, here's the same face with the opposite soul. Go.
The Great Reset, or better, a multiplier. Instantly, every relationship is in question. You've minted 100 new threads overnight, which you need when you're writing 250 more hours.
People call that lazy. I think it's survival. Desperate ingenuity. You can't rehash the same boardroom argument forever.
You're defending that pretty hard for something I didn't attack.
Fair. I just know the impulse to keep the world spinning, it gets under your skin.
And the byproduct is this paradox. The stakes are gargantuan, life, death, empires, secret babies, and tiny. The biggest scene of the week can hinge on who saw whom talking in the park.
Because you've been trained to read every chat as a fuse. In Prestige Land, the domino might fall 3 episodes later. In Ahsoka, it's toppling before the break.
That's the core deal it makes with you. Boredom isn't on the menu. By the end of the hour, you'll get a payoff. Maybe not the one you wanted, but something lands. It's a relentless engine.
That phrase fits a machine that never stops. So if we pull back, what sticks the most? The information is ammo, the clockwork plot mechanics?
Hang on, this is clicking for me in real time. The real legacy might be the idea of the world that keeps existing when you're not watching a persistent universe long before we use that term.
That's huge. We hand that credit to comics, but Soaks did it daily for decades. Dense history that welcomes newcomers while rewarding lifers with deep lore.
Exactly. The lore. It's a sprawling, intergenerational canon. Whole franchises now ride that model, perfected on a shoestring in Burbank.
Which is wild when you say it out loud. It isn't just line-by-line craft. It's the macro engineering of a world.
Right. The loaded exposition we flagged, the fearless performances, and this absurdly durable story machine that just keeps turning. It's a full-on school of writing and production we've ever valued.
Maybe we've had the frame wrong. Not a guilty pleasure, just a different one. Less puzzle, more unashamed feeling.
Yeah, it assumes the audience can feel deeply. It doesn't beg for admiration. It wants you invested in whether Barthia Chilomayu ever gets forgiven.
And for millions, for decades, that was enough. More than enough. It shaped everything.
This talk honestly shifted how I think about our foundations. I want to rewatch the stuff my grandmother loved, this time with a writer's eye and maybe a sandwich.
Same. Let's call it here. I'm glad we dug in. Turns out this is a lot closer to home than either of us guessed.